This morning we're going to be in Mark chapter 5, so if you would turn there. I went back through a bunch of videos this past week for some reason. I'm not really sure why. DVDs that had been didn't have the dates written on them. And I looked, and man, I've got a lot older. When I first started, I didn't have glasses. I didn't have glasses on, and then I went to a stage, and I was doing this every 30 seconds so I could look down and look at you, and then it come to a point where, yeah, they're just there. But God changes me on the outside, but man, He has blessed me on the inside through the opportunity to share His Word. And so we're going to jump into it again this morning. We're going to start in verse 21 and get to our focal point. So if you would read along with me. It says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again to the boat on the other side, a great multitude gathered to Him, and He was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Him, he fell at His feet, and he begged Him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at a point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?"' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the way you put things together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for guiding us today. Lord, open our hearts. Help us to hear what it is your Spirit has to say to us. Lord, teach us and guide us. May we live to honor and glorify you. May we be what you desire us to be. We thank you and praise you. May your Spirit move in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the part about Jairus at the beginning, I went ahead and read that just because it kind of puts us in the location of where Jesus was at. He'd crossed the sea, and a large crowd had came to gather around him, and it would call them a multitude. And basically, that was a way of saying there were so many people, we could not count them. So there was a great multitude had gathered around him, and Jairus had come and wanted Jesus to heal his daughter, come and lay his hands on his daughter and heal his daughter. And so he says, okay, and he starts to go with him. And in the middle of what Jesus was doing, on his way to Jairus' house, he's interrupted. He's interrupted by what happens that I want to focus on this morning. When this woman who had been in this condition, this illness, this affliction, this bleeding for 12 years, comes up into the crowd and we just read what she does. But I want us to really hear what happened that day. Because I think if we stop and look, and I don't know if you're lost, I don't know if you're saved, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life. I don't know where you're at in your physical life, your job, your location. I don't know, and I don't need to know. Because my God knows. Now we can look at this passage and we can look at this woman who had this affliction for 12 years and how she came up and she touched his garment and how she was healed. But I think there's so much more beyond this for us. Because I think there's something that every single person in here should get out of this passage. That's the way God's Word works. I preached on this several years back. And I thought, well, surely I'm not supposed to go back to this passage. But I went to this passage this week. And this is what God had. So we're going to look first at this woman. It tells us that she heard about Jesus. Now, we don't know where she lived. We don't know how far she lived from the edge of the sea, which is where Jesus started. We don't know if they were still at the edge of the sea and they were on their way to Jairus' house, and somewhere between the sea and Jairus' house, this woman comes up and stops and touches him. We don't know where she started. We don't know where this actually happened at. But we know at some point before this, she had heard about Jesus. And it's a pretty safe bet that everybody in this church has heard about Jesus. And you are here for some reason based on that fact. You've heard about Him. Maybe you've heard about what He's done. Maybe you've heard about Him and you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior and you're desiring to follow Him. This passage is still for you too. This passage is still for all of us, no matter where you're located. I don't know if you're between the sea and Jairus' house. I don't know where you're at. But Jesus does. She heard about Him, just like many people today. And there are people in churches all over the United States today and all over the world. People go to church because they've heard about Jesus. There are people that won't go to church today that have heard about Jesus. So just hearing about Him really is not enough. Had this woman stayed at her house, you guys know what it's like to be sick. When you're sick, you don't feel like going out and getting in the midst of a crowd and tracking somebody down. But that's what she did because she had heard about how Jesus had a healing power. And when you understand what Jesus can do in your life, then you will understand and that hearing will draw you to Him. Like I said, there are people all over the world that are going to attend church. And they're going to go to hear about Jesus. And when they walk out the door, they will have heard about Jesus. But they're probably still just as spiritually broken if all they did was hear about Him. Because hearing about Him is not enough. Let's see what else she did. It said after she heard about Him, it says she came to Him. She came up behind Him. The reason she came behind Him is because in her condition, she was considered unclean. And anybody she touched was unclean for at least 24 hours and would have to go through a ceremonial process to be cleansed. So that's the reason she didn't come up in front of Him. And maybe she was embarrassed. Maybe she was afraid somebody would keep her away from touching Jesus. But she came to this place. Like I said, people are going to come to church everywhere. But you can come to church. You can get dressed up in your best clothes. You can come as you are. We don't care. But if all you're going to do is come to church, that we care about. I don't want you just to come to church because you've heard about Jesus and you come just to maybe hear something else or see God move in somebody else's life. I want you to come to church so that you will be made spiritually whole. And that goes back to Mike's song. That's up to you. I can present the Word of God. They can sing the Word of God. We can talk to people and they can share the Word of God with us. But if all you're going to do is hear it and come and leave, that can't be on me. And that can't be on the person beside you. That is on you. That you need to come and to not just come and hear, because being in a location Doesn't really matter. Think about that multitude of people that are on that seashore and that are following Jesus, and we don't know how many that is. But they all had heard about Jesus, or they wouldn't have came. And they all came, but we hear of one being healed. They came to that point, they came to that location, the same way people are going to go to church, and the location does nothing. Man, I am so glad we have people come in here every Sunday morning and we're able to share the Word of God and to draw close to Him and to learn what He has for us. But the location does nothing. This location or any other church location is not going to get you to heaven. No more than walking to the seashore and hearing about Jesus and being there in that crowd healed the rest of those people. Being in the right place at the right time is good, but it's no guarantee. What else did she do? Man, she said in verse 28, said, "If only I may touch his clothes." Man, she wanted healing. She had pushed her way through the crowd. She was up right close to him, and she wanted healing. But think about how many other people in that crowd wanted the same thing. Maybe a different condition, but wanted the same thing. We know she had to have wanted it bad. 12 years. Willing to push through the crowd. But wanting it's not enough. Man, when I was growing up, I could always picture this sky blue Corvette. Oh, man, I wanted one so bad. Of course, I wasn't even 16 at the time. But, man, I wanted this convertible sky blue Corvette. But no matter how bad I wanted it, it wasn't going to happen. Now, my mom did everything she could possibly do. She bought me one like this long. I've still got it. But, man, that's not the one I wanted. And it wasn't like I didn't get it because of lack of want. I wanted it really bad. There are people that want God to move in their life constantly. But that want stops right there. Man, I've heard about Him. I go to the right places and I want Him to move in my life. But when I leave, everything's the same. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where the difference is at. She reached out and touched His garment. Now, it wasn't His garment that was magical. It wasn't His garment because we read that the power left Him and healed her. It wasn't the garment. But it was her faith in Jesus and His healing power that made the difference. Her faith in Jesus. It wasn't the amount of her faith. It was who her faith was in. She reached out and she touched Him. Now it tells us that all these people were just bumping into Jesus. They were touching Him. The disciples even almost make a joke out of it when He says, "Who touched me?" He said, "Well, look at all the people bumping into you. How many people have touched you? What are you talking about?" type of a statement. But there is casual contact and there is a desire that turns into faith contact. And that's what she did. It was a personal contact. It was a desire that caused that faith. But you know, it doesn't stop there. I always thought, you know, this is a great passage. God has this passage. It's great. She heard. She came. She wanted or she desired. And then she reached out and touched and she was healed. Man, what a great passage. And then as I look at it and I think how broken I am. How broken we are as Christians. We are born with a sinful nature. We mess up all the time. We are not what God intends us to be. Now, our process of sanctification, and that's that process that takes place from the time you accept Christ. It's a process of becoming more like Christ, and it will never become full until the day you stand before Him in heaven. That process is called sanctification. During that process, I'm still broken. That's where we're at this side of heaven, is we're still broken. But too many of us are in a crowd. It's like, well, what kind of crowd are you talking about? There's that crowd that's the world that doesn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I've heard about Him, but I don't want to have anything to do with Him. And they're in that crowd. And they're going to stay in that crowd because they have no desire to put their faith in a God that allows some of the stuff to happen that they see happen in this world. But that stuff happens because of the sin in our lives, because of sin in this world. And then there are those of us that are in the crowd of the church. And we are in the religious crowd. And we are up there, we look at it as a crowd. You got this big outer circle. Those people are just hanging around. And then you got those people in the middle of the crowd that are just there because they want to be involved. And then you got those people right up close because they want to see what Jesus is doing in the lives of people. And there are a lot of people in that crowd too. But those people, they may have even bumped up against Jesus, but they never reached out and touched Him. There was never any personal contact. Those people in that crowd that day that were on the outer edges and even in the middle and even in the right up close went home the same way they showed up. And when we show up at church, and we're in that outer circle or the middle circle or even up close, and we have no desire to have God touch us, then spiritually we're going home the same way we came in, untouched. There's another crowd, and it's the crowd of the routine. Because I fall into that crowd a lot. I know I'm a Christian. I know I have a relationship with Jesus. I do my Bible reading each day. I do my Bible study. I get into the routine of it. I do the things that get me close to Jesus. And I bump into Him occasionally. But it becomes such a routine that my focus is around every... Can you imagine the disciples at this point? As they're walking down the road, they're probably trying to clear the way for Jesus. They're probably trying to do this number, trying to clear the way for Jesus. Man, sometimes that's where I feel like I'm at. I'm one of those disciples that I'm trying to clear the way for Jesus into the world. But you know what happens? When you're out here in front trying to clear the way for Jesus, what's pointed towards Jesus? My back. That's not where He wants me. He wants me to walk with Him and to follow Him. He wants me out of that routine. He wants me to see Him, to follow Him, and to reach out and touch Him, and to allow Him to touch my life. Because it may not be something physical, but the spiritual brokenness is just as bad. So I thought early this week, I thought, okay, God, I know that I'm in that crowd of the routine. So I was focused that that was going to be the focal point of my sermon. I was so ready. He said, "We're not done yet." I was like, "Ah." Because what happens after she touches him? He looks around, he asks, but then he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And the woman, what was she doing? Still fear and trembling. Just because I've accepted Christ, just because He's touched my life, doesn't mean that there's not going to be a lot of fear and trembling. But he looked at her, and can you imagine that initial eye contact of how she felt? And for 12 years, I've been hurting and broken inside. And all of a sudden, my faith in Jesus, the Son of God, has changed my life. And He turns around and He makes eye contact with me. Man. That's the same thing that when I walk an aisle, and I bow down and I ask Jesus Christ into my life, and I step and I look up, I should see that same idea that, man, I now have a relationship. Look at this. She is going to testify. Oh, man, you could have went all day without saying that. With fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, she came and she fell down before Him. When I realize what God has done in our lives, you and I should do nothing else but come to Him and fall down in worship. But what happens? When I reach out and I touch Him, I know I have a need for Him in my life, and I reach out there and He touches my life. Okay, I'm good till next time. And I get up and I walk back into the crowd. That's not what she did. She may have wanted to. That may have been her intention, was to slip back into the crowd, because that's our intention. That's what we do. But He calls her out. And she came and fell down before Him. And she told Him the whole truth. He did not need to know the whole truth. So who needed to hear the whole truth? One, she did. Same way you and I, when God does something in our life, it does something for us when we begin to share the praises and the blessings of God. Even to Him, it's acknowledging, it's thanking Him, it's praising Him for what He's done in our life. I need to do that. But not only that, here she is in the middle of this great multitude, and God has done something in her life, and she says, "I'm going to tell you guys the whole truth. I went from being somebody who was impure, unclean, unholy, would not have been allowed to even touch people because of my condition." Man, if we look at the sin in our life, that's exactly where we are. I am unclean, unholy, if it were not for the blood of Jesus Christ. But when He touches me, when He cleanses me, I should come and fall down at His feet and begin to sing praises to Him and tell everybody around me the whole truth. Oh man, Pastor, I don't know enough scriptures. I don't know everything. What do you think she knew? What does it tell us that she knew? She knew what Jesus had done in her life. And that was the whole truth. And so if you and I will just tell people what Jesus has done in our life, that tells them who Jesus is, and that tells them the power He has in our life. That's the truth. So you are to testify. And what happens after she bows down, she falls before Him, and she testifies? Don't miss this. He says to her, "Daughter, Whoa, daughter, stop right there. She became a child of God through her faith. Man, it's no longer just a woman in the crowd. It's no longer just a person who was healed by Jesus. This is by faith in Jesus Christ. She became a daughter of God. The relationship began. Daughter, your faith has made you well. When you look up that word well in a Greek lexicon, the terminology that it uses, it's a person is well, they're whole, they're complete. This is not talking about health. This is talking about spiritually, you are well. Daughter, your faith has made you well. It has made you complete. It has made you the whole person that God desires you to be. The next verse, go in peace. Go in peace. Man, she came with turmoil. She came with an affliction of bleeding for 12 years, fear and trembling. She reaches out and she touches him. She testifies. And he says, you're complete. Now go in peace. The only way you can go in peace is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now we can talk about peace that has to do with war or the lack of war. But really what peace is, true peace, the kind that God gives, not the kind the world says, but the kind that God gives, when he says, my peace I leave with you, what he meant was that you could have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. The Holy God of the universe can have a relationship with sinful man. Well, how is that possible? Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to understand that when he says this here, go in peace. Go in the comfort of knowing you are all right with God. Because if you are not all right with God, you will never have peace. The only way to have peace is to have a relationship. Daughter, go in faith. Your faith has healed you. Now there's bonuses sometimes. It goes on to say, go in peace and be healed from your affliction. Well, if she's made well, that's spiritual. Here he says, and be healed of your affliction. So that was a bonus, but that's not what he's talking about. The focus is spiritual. For you and I, we need to understand that whatever crowd we're in, you better get out of it. I don't care if it's a religious crowd. I don't care if it's the church crowd. I don't care if it's a crowd of whoever. Get out of the crowd, reach out of the crowd, and get a hold of Jesus and hang on for all it's worth. And it's worth everything. Because if you're going to stand in the crowd, I don't care how close you get to people that know all about Jesus, that have seen Jesus move in their lives, that God has touched their brokenness and healed their brokenness, I don't care how close you are to them, it doesn't work. If they hold God's hand and you hold theirs, it doesn't work that way. Are you going to reach out? Do you have the faith to reach out and say, God, I'm broken and I'm hurting inside. I may look good on the outside. I may have a tie. I may be dressed up. But God, on the inside, I'm broken and hurting. And I need you to heal me. Get out of your routine. Because if you're good enough in your routine, then you're in trouble. Because you will just stay in your routine. I'm going to close with this last statement. It goes back up into verse 26. It said she'd suffered many things by many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. If you get nothing else out of this message today, understand that if you're not spiritually getting closer to God, you're getting worse. Do not be content with where you are. I don't care how well the crowd lifts you up. You will stand before Jesus Christ one day. Not before the people of this church, not before the people of any church. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. Are you going to testify? Are you going to walk away in peace, knowing that you're doing everything God's called you to do? You have that relationship with Him. If you're not getting closer, you're getting farther away. If you're not getting better, you're growing worse. If you're not gathering, you're scattering. You look at it however you want to. You can hear, you can come, you can desire, but until your faith draws an action that moves you into a connection, a relationship with God, then you're going to walk out of this place. I'm going to walk out of this place the same as I walked in, broken and hurting inside. What are you going to do? Will you be made whole? Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, I want to be better. I want to get out of the routine. I want to draw closer to You. I want to praise You. I want to worship You. I want to be everything You desire me to be. God, draw me close to You. Lord Jesus, I lift up this day everything that we've heard from Your Word, that we could not go out of this place the same as we came in. Because we've touched You. We've had the opportunity to listen to You. Lord, I pray that we do what You've called us to do and answer the question You've set before us. Wilt Thou be made whole? In Your name I pray. Amen.